Hey, this is Pep Talks, and you're listening to a best of episode. That's right. We're recycling old episodes because I don't give a damn. Actually, they're great episodes, so enjoy. Hey, our first episode that you're going to listen to is Megan Keister. She is an edgy, outspoken, funny woman. I love her. Please enjoy this episode. Megan Keister, watch for Megan. She is going to make some noise.
Megan, what is going on? Thank you for coming in. And why are you laughing at that?
What do you mean, what is going on? Like, big picture? What is going on?
Yeah, big picture. That's not you don't have to do big picture. That's a lot to do big picture.
Right.
What's going on today? Is everything okay today? Or are you like me? Like, I have such anxiety.
So you don't sleep
I wake
well.
Up with this anxiety. No, my sleep is very sporadic.
Yeah, my sleep is all. I feel like trash tonight. I did not sleep well, but I usually don't.
I try to figure it out big picture. I'm thinking, oh, do I have guilt about my family? Like what is keeping me fucking up? Like my mom and dad growing up, like, is that what is keeping me up at night? Because my dad is Sicilian. Jewish Sicilian. And it's such a deadly combination of incredible guilt, Jew and Sicilian. Like, the Italians. What are you, by the way?
All I know about is Greek. I don't know anything about my father's. I don't speak to my father.
Is that right? Yeah. I hardly talk to my dad either. And my mom died. And so we're not talking. Ever since she died.
You don't communicate spiritually?
A little. Not much at all. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't close with her. She had... I'm laughing because it's getting dark. Really, but she had bipolar. She was bipolar, manic depressive. They called it back then, and she was like, she was in and out of mental institutions. I just wanted to say institutions because that sounds better. It sounds like she was in and out of like things like the Academy of Arts. But no, she was in and out of mental.
I miss
my mother. You what?
I miss mental institutions.
There aren't any more.
I know. Yeah, thanks,
there's no Reagan. Place for us to go. Like, there's no people. I'm concluding you in on this, but like, I feel like I should be at some kind of resort. Like, not resort.
We should be in a sanitarium right now.
A sanitarium.
Yes.
You nailed it.
There you go.
Like, I just see myself in a wooden chair on a beach, and there's an attendant. I'm just calling him attendant.
Right.
And the attendant like gives me blankets. You know, by the beach, and I'm like, hey.
And you're just getting hydrated.
I'm getting hydrated.
I need to go to a secondary location to get hydrated.
My mom. A second. My mom used to tell me, and this is why I am fucking nuts, you know. Why I am nuts. I'm leading back to like my anxiety, my everyday anxiety, which I'm feeling today. Like, I'm feeling the last couple of days. I've been very busy. I've been busy. And
again with the bragging. First the bookings, now it's really not.
And this is how I feel in life in general. I feel so disorganized and overwhelmed.
Adrift.
Yeah, adrift. Like there's rarely days where I feel just like grounded and like, oh, I got this.
Same. This is not one of those days.
For
I don't
you?
Even want to be sitting up right now.
Yeah.
Before I came here, well, I woke up around noon.
Bragging. Whatever you were going to say, I was going to say bragging.
I lead a glamorous life.
Yeah. Well, I got up at 10:45.
I woke up at noon, stood up for about 10 minutes.
Well, you
and
had
then
a long
laid
night.
Back down.
Now, why? Now, were you happy with the show last night, by the way, which I think, You were so funny. I had never seen you perform. I heard a lot about you through a couple of friends who were always like, "Oh, you're gonna like Megan." Yeah. You know, blah blah blah, because they know me. Who are the other women on hosting with you?
Claire O'Kane and Allison Stevenson. Mm. We make sketch videos together.
Oh,
too.
You do. Talk about that a little bit.
Insufferable.
That's a great talking. See, do you see how? No, and I'm a good host.
Right. Fantastic.
Do you see how I like? Wow.
Wow.
You make
how
videos.
About that? Yeah, umpteenth of hundreds of views on these videos. Profoundly idiotic.
Ooh, I want to see them. Where can we see them?
Women-centric. I mean, fucking YouTube. You know, we're never going to make any money off this garbage.
Yeah, but it sounds like you're doing what you love.
Yeah, and well, we have a collection of fans. One hater. There's one person who always down. We assume that it's Allison's hater because she has a lot of haters online because she writes about how she doesn't suck dick. Or she wrote about it once and the internet melted down because of it.
She doesn't suck dick. She doesn't perform fellatio.
Correct. Yes.
And she got haters from that.
Yes,
I could
many.
See the guys. I could just see the guys going, "Well, you know, that's bullshit."
Well, yeah, it was just, yeah, it was like the whole internet flipped a table over. Just men were just like crying on Reddit. Do you know what I mean? Reddit became wet with the tears of all of these men. Like, what do you mean? You know, etc. But I want you.
It'd be funny if you had a meeting with Allison and were like, "Look, Allison. We want to up the viewers." You know, like you play kind of a studio head with her. Like, we can't have that kind of talk, you know, on the internet, you know.
You're going to have to stop blogging. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to stop blogging.
So where did you meet these guys?
Just doing comedy. They're both stand-ups, too. Yeah. That's how I've met everyone I know. I had no friends before I started doing comedy. Due to my personality, probably.
That's my whole life, yeah.
Yeah. Or
they're all, well, now I've kind of branched off a little bit.
Well, it makes things easier.
Yeah, it's everything's in one spot, right?
Right, and it's
friends, enemies, career, friends, enemy, career.
Right.
Lovers.
Ex-concubines, et cetera, et cetera. It makes it, I mean, at least makes, well, I mean, I don't know, like Facebook, for example. Like, yeah. I'm not going to, if I look at it, I'm never going to see anybody talk about how they think that, like, God's real because they see it in their child's eyes. But then I will see, you know, just come to my show in the basement where I'll be doing improv.
How long have you been doing it?
I don't know, like 6 years?
Oh, yeah.
That might be accurate.
And
I'm just keeping track, right?
I'm not. Oh, I have lately reached a point where it's like, oh, how long have I was just talking to a buddy who's been doing it. He told me 44 years.
Holy Christ. Wait, how, what?
44 years, this gentleman. I don't know if I should say his name. He's pretty famous at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's kind of a cult guy like me.
One would hope he would be. We would have a modicum of sex
well,
success
that's,
at this point.
That's the thing, is that, you know, there's no guarantee of anything.
Oh, no. I've achieved nothing.
Me too. I would love to do a film, you know, because so many people are into film, which I think is so bizarre, too, the way there's like a million podcasts about, you know, movies and everything. And just people, I just would love to do that kind of thing about movies where, did you like it? And you go, yeah. And I go,
and then we just sit in silence
yeah.
for 30 minutes.
All right. Our next film we're going to review is a real piece of shit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which one
are you
was
talking
it?
About? My Big Fat Greek Wedding, too.
Yeah. By the
I
way,
I knew you were.
By the way, do billboards? I drive around this town. L.A. is such a torture for someone like me because I drive around this town and I was talking about it. Was I talking? No, it may have been another place I was doing. I was just talking about looking at the Catch billboard. There's this billboard for a show called The Catch.
I've never heard of it.
With Peter Krause. Me neither, until this billboard appeared in my neighborhood in North Hollywood. And it's huge. And the size of these billboards just make you because I say that these billboards are our gods, our modern-day gods.
Right.
Like, you look up at this billboard for this show with Peter Krause and some hot actress, and there's a spider web behind them, and they're both dressed real nice, and they're just looking out at you. And I have to go to this intersection
every day. I wind up at this intersection. And I guess the fucks who put up these billboards know you have to be at this intersection.
Sure.
It's like a specific one. And I just look up and I'm like, you know, I'm just like, maybe this is the show that I need in my life.
Like this will fix your childhood. This show will fix your childhood.
Yeah, but I mean, that's how they fucking, you know, that's, I mean, television and movies.
I don't even know if in L.A., though, they're necessarily trying to get you to watch the product or just bragging about the fact that they made it. Do you know what I mean? Especially, like,
That's funny.
We have billboards for HBO shows here. I remember a few years ago when the show Hello Ladies was on.
Yes.
Huge fucking billboard right next to LAX. So every plane that came in and out could see this Hello Ladies billboard. Hello Ladies. You know, I watched it. It was fine.
Did you see me on it?
Were you on it?
I was on one episode. I love Merchant.
Yeah, he's funny.
And Ricky Gervais I like because, you know, he's an animal rights guy. And it seemed, oh, and he fucking bashes celebrities. He hosts the Golden Globes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
and
I saw.
He started it by saying, will you shut up? Like people were talking at the beginning. Will you shut up, you bunch of entitled, pill-popping, sexual degenerates? Like,
right, and they love
it. Yeah. I like, and then he started doing Sprint commercials. And
right.
I'm like, oh, no, it was
all
no,
he
not
does
Sprint,
now is
Verizon,
is Verizon commercials and yell at atheists on the internet.
He yells at atheists?
Or not, sorry, yells at people who aren't atheists.
Who aren't atheists, right. That's fucked up,
here.
Too.
Right.
Are you already out of it? We could.
Oh, no,
it.
No,
we
no.
Could...
no, no, no. I that's
folks,
why.
That's it.
Why,
that's it for Megan.
I misspoke. I like ragging on Ricky Gervais for no reason.
I like to say that
I wear his black V-neck as a diaper. I have this bit I talk about how I'm the first comedian who has ever gone on a stage and told you unequivocally that God's not real. You know what I love that, like, listen up, sheeple, I know the truth bullshit. Like, fuck off, you know what I mean?
I know. Yeah, the atheists who are, like, basically fundamentalists because they're so into atheism.
Yeah.
They're like, we are atheists.
Yeah, if you fucking believe in it.
Yeah, and that guy Richard Dawkins turned out to be such a piece of shit.
Dickhead, yeah.
I'm going to tweet about Dawkins. But, but I got so much joy out of The Office. Ricky Gervais's The Office with Merchant and Extras.
I enjoyed Extras as well, yeah.
And so it's hard for me to fucking hate him.
Did you see there were like women sitting in the vestibule?
Yeah, what was that?
Well, I went to one because I thought that she worked here. I was trying to figure out where I was going.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And she's like, I'm not in charge. You have to check in with her. And I was like, oh, Christ.
That's the first time I've seen someone, by the way, in that middle section. Aaron is nodding his head.
Yeah.
What is it, Aaron? Do you want to get on mic or no?
There's an audition for something.
There's an audition. Sad-eyed waitresses trying to be a raped and eviscerated corpse on fucking CSI or whatever. You know? Oh, Dad, I got the part. Every
Do you
time...
audition, by the way? It's such a horrible experience.
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't? Yeah.
Mm. I mean, I would. No one's asking me to do anything. I don't have a fucking
you
agent.
Will.
I don't have a fucking manager.
That's amazing to
That's,
me.
Hey, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, we're done, Megan. Thank you for coming in for the eviscerated corpse. But I think we're going to go in another direction.
You know what? It wouldn't be my first crippling loss.
Do you have anything you want to plug? I mean, I'm going to plug you right now.
Anything you want to plug will be fine.
Next episode you're going to listen to is Dana Gould, the great Dana Gould, who just created a show for IFC. Actually, it's in season 3 already with Janet Varney, John McGinley. And Dana is just amazing. Was a staff writer on The Simpsons for years, probably one of the most innovative, creative comedians ever. So watch Stand Against Evil on IFC and listen to this interview with Dana, one of the best.
But I am a frequent guest on his amazing podcast called The Dana Gould Hour. I guess from that, you could guess I am with Dana Gould.
I am with John Hour.
Already, it starts. And this is what I love, because a lot of my guests before you, they wouldn't have done anything with, let's say, the Paul Kozlowski Hour. He wouldn't have done anything with that. He would have been just like, hello, just a hello, and then I'm faced with the guy sitting there. And this is the problem, folks, you know, with
you know, getting guests is that a lot of them just look at you. They just look at you. Now, Dana runs his own podcast, so you know what it's like to do one of these.
Yes, I am. I'm a grand old gal of the theater, and I know.
By the way, eating. Do you have an eating disorder?
Yes, I do.
I have to regulate my eating constantly, and it's like my life with everything. With everything that is pleasurable, I am just a pleasure. My shrink, one of my first shrinks, God rest his soul, he committed suicide during a session with me, and I felt like I won. Like, when your shrink commits suicide, you win. But anyway.
Yeah, I once fell asleep while meditating, and I think I won. I did it.
But he called me a pleasure head, meaning that I just constantly, I just seek pleasure.
You're a libertine.
My libertine?
You're a libertine.
Oh, I'm a libertine.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I was.
But not with, it's with anything that gives me pleasure.
Yes. I was talking to somebody who just on an airplane, just chatting with this person, and they turned out.
Oh, I do want to talk about airplanes. But go ahead.
They run a, like a health food business, a sport drink consortium or something. And
the sport drinks are out of control,
And they're like, well, I'm not going to have a Diet Coke sitting here next to the sport drink person. So I go, I'll have an orange juice. And she goes, sugar. It's like, oh, now orange juice is bad.
Oh, that's what they said?
Yeah. You can have, this is the only thing you can have, water and then a couple of wooden clothespins. That's the only thing you can ever eat. Everything else is bad for you.
By the way, you know, and I don't know what this is, you know, I don't really know if the word is fad, but, you know, different things go in and out. Like the gluten thing has made people crazy about fucking gluten.
I know that they stopped being concerned about mold and started to be concerned about gluten.
Yes. Was it Candida? Do you remember that one?
Yes. Yes.
What the fuck was that? I always thought it was a musical by Rex Harrison until I found out that Rex Harrison was an actor in musicals. And I thought it was then I was like, I don't know if because I'm not great with musicals.
And he played Dr. Doolittle.
I was just going to say, I thought Dr. Doolittle is my musical about cats. I have five of them.
Somebody was telling me a story about a cat urinated in their stove burners.
In their stove burners?
Like,
what's
the cat
that?
Was
Did
up on top of the
stove?
No, it was just like on top.
Oh, on top. Oh, the burners on top.
The burner. Yeah. And and it got into the stove, and then it was hot, and I was like, we had to get rid of it. Just whole stove gone.
The whole
fucking cat pee
stove?
Out. Gone. Yeah.
Oh,
it's just,
shit.
It's just like so much concentrated. Ugh.
We have a problem cat. We have five cats. Four of them really cool. One of them.
Five cats?
Yeah, five cats.
This is, we're at Cat Talk on KOMO.
Hello. Today we'll be talking about Dana's cat, Mr. Buttons, who's had a problem urinating on chairs. And Dana likes to entertain in the style of old Hollywood, like Harpo Marx and Ben Hecht and Alexander Wolcott.
Ben Hecht. Yeah. I always love it. It's the penultimate NPR show. Welcome to Cat-Filled Book Bag.
Is that a routine you've had? That's funny. Cat-filled book bag.
We're going to have some tea and talk about cat-filled book bags. Like, I love NPR, but I hate NPR.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, and I was literally like, I had a...
What do we hate about it? Their humorlessness?
Yes, their humorlessness. They'll never... Having been on NPR a lot...
I forgot. What do you do?
I used to be a regular on a show on American Public Radio called...
Which one?
Good news, bad news, no news. Some permutation of that.
Okay.
And I've been on panels with Christopher Hitchens and like lots of people because I was on that show.
Hitch.
But it was John Moe, who you might know of, who's in Seattle, who's really terrific, or Portland. Really great guy and knows comedy because if you're like, I'm a comedian, he'll go, okay, what do you want to talk about? Whereas anybody else on NPR is like, what is comedy? Just let me be funny.
Yeah.
It's like the whole, but there was, I had a shower radio. If you remember those?
Yeah, from they went out of style. Sure. You know, I think already I see a theme developing here. Things that go in and out of style in our search for some kind of sense of safety.
Yes, because if I'm not in the shower with Gary Owens, I don't feel safe.
I just got satellite radio, I was telling you, and it's like any new thing I get.
You were telling me you were lord.
Any new thing I get, I think, this is what was missing. This is what was missing in my life. I just need music and talk in the car of a high quality, and I'll be fine from here on in.
I have at my home, Falcon's Lair, I have a thing on my computer, it's called Sonos, and you can basically, it plays in any speaker. You can go like, I want to hear this satellite station, and I want to hear it in my office and the kitchen and the bedroom. And you can just boop, boop.
Sonos.
S-O-N-O-S.
To me, you sound like a Navy SEAL.
<It's right. laughs> But what happens is, what do I do on this? Anything, yeah. Now I'll be relaxed. No, I just listen to Hardball from MSNBC. So I just fill my life.
Go back to the same shit.
I fill my life with angry Chris Matthews. It's like in every room in my house. What are they? Can he do anything right? You know, my life immediately just gets. I just get stressed out in every room.
I don't. You know, you do a great Chris Matthews. The motherfucker, Chris Matthews, never lets anybody say anything.
No.
Is that correct?
Yes. It's in the business, it's called telling you a question.
Telling you? That's a term?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I'm from Philadelphia. He's always talking about where Philly, the fuck
people,
he's from.
I grew up in Philly, regular people, and you're here, and you're going to answer the question. That's why I'm calling Highball. Eugene Robinson, your thoughts. Was there a question?
Lost plane. Where is it? Where the hell is it? Where the hell is it? Are we looking for a needle in a haystack? John.
It is the
beginning. Well, I think. What do you mean?
So you don't know. You don't know.
Yes, exactly.
I wish they'd just asked my mother, because she would ask them where they had it last.
I saw Chris Matthews once in the flesh. Have you ever met him?
I have met him, and it was perfectly insane.
Was it?
Yeah.
Tell me about the little encounter.
I met him at the Real Time of Bill Maher. And
you were on same show?
No, I went because he was on, and I wanted to meet him. And I said to Bill, I said, introduce me to Chris Matthews. And he goes, Bill, this he goes, Chris, this is one of our regulars, Dana Gould. I go, hey, it was really nice to meet you. I watch your show every day. Dana Gould, Dana Elcare. And he just starts telling me the names of actors named Dana. Dana Andrews.
Same as on his show. Like, it's a free associative bloodbath. Yeah. It's like, no, I mean, I kind of know where he's coming from because on this podcast, I don't know what you think because you run a great podcast, but like, it's nice to free, it's great to like free associate. And if you could land on
something. I'm not that secure. The topic is sewing machines and we're off topic.
I can't remember what happens to me, and this has been happening on stage as well, is that I go on threads. Like, I've been, like, following threads, and then I forget where I am.
Yeah.
I forget where I fucking am, and I just go to someone in the audience. What was I talking about? And it's great when they just go, you were saying that you had pushed your mother down the steps. And I was like, thank you. And I said, that's how you deal with early dementia or Alzheimer's, is you always have someone around you, like you just go to them, do you know who I am? Not in a star way, but like, do you know who I am? And they're like, you're an architect, you like berries. Like, they give you as much information about your life as that you like berries, you have trouble with close, intimate
you should
relationships.
Have, like, a baseball card of who you are and just give it to people when you meet them.
That's great.
And what are my stats? Slept with 11 women.
240 pounds, slept with 11 women. Nothing came of 8 of them.
You are inexplicably fond of the film Operation Petticoat.
How do we deal with aging? You were just talking about measuring something and your back.
I just turned the wrong way today, and my back made a noise. It sounded like somebody tore a roast chicken in half like a phone book. I don't know what happened to me.
Yeah. I tell people now that I pull things just getting out of bed. Like, if I get my chiropractor actually told me you have to get out of bed a certain way, and then I flash back to when I was a kid and I was this lithe you know, this lithe, bouncy ball, you know. I was just thinking because again, of the satellite radio, I was listening to Led Zeppelin in the car just now, and it was such a flashback for me because I whole lot of love.
Sure. What channel were you listening to Led Zeppelin on?
I think it was called, Deep Vinyl.
Sure, Deep Vinyl, sure.
Oh, do you have satellite
Deep
radio?
Tracks. Yeah, I have it.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
Deep Tracks.
What do you get into? Like, is it just you wind up listening
to MSNBC.
To one fucking thing?
I listen to MSNBC. Yeah. I listen to Chris Matthews Scream. I listen to 60s on 6, even though I don't.
You like the 60s?
Yeah, I do, but that's not my music. I mean, I'm not that old.
Whoa. You listen to MSNBC. The Young Turks are on. Are they still on MSNBC?
I don't think so.
They're gone?
I don't know. They might not
be
gone.
Anyway.
All I know is Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes are the same person.
Yes. I think you were the one who said something like Chris Hayes
is the female Rachel Maddow.
Great. By the way, I like Rachel Maddow's politics, but I don't know if we've talked about this before because I get lost with all the podcasts I do. But whoever told Rachel Maddow that she is funny.
Yeah. Should be shot.
Should be shot. And to me, it's kind of unwatchable because it seems that every story is either done too stridently or she is the very unfunny Marx brother, like Gummo or Zeppo.
It's also like a 20-minute lead-in. And the person who won that election, the very person.
Yes. Like, that is what. Yeah. And her neck, by the way, her neck is so thin that every time she's like, you see those sinuous.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if I'm using the word right, but those muscles in the neck that are twitching with this
cords of the neck.
Yes.
I think that she's also blonde. I'm not lying. I think she was like a conventional hottie.
Oh my god! But she doesn't want to be blonde because people associate blonde with bimbos on the news, and she's a very like if you're going to be a serious newscaster. Oh my god! Dana has just Googled Rachel Maddow as a blonde with long hair, and is that her? That almost
That's her.
Looks. Where did you find?
Just Rachel. Just Google
just Rachel Maddow blonde photo.
Rachel Maddow, blonde, Google
and
image it.
And that is unbelievable. Is that before she found her,
that's her like,
quote-unquote sexuality? Or
that's high school, I guess.
Holy shit. That is funny.
Yeah.
That is funny. By the way, just to finish
and
off
then,
this.
And like a lot of girls, she thought, I want to look like Steve Coogan.
Well, anyway, we're coming to the end of this interview. I want to thank you so much. But before I let you go, Dana Gould, I want to do something I do with all my guests.
Breathe into this rag.
What's that?
Breathe into this rag.
Next episode, James Adomian. What a great, great comedian James is. He now does voiceover work. He's just an incredible impersonator comedian. James is all over the place, doing voiceover work for Disney and other animated studios. And, he's a brilliant, edgy comic. He's now developing shows with networks. So please listen to the great James Adomian.
James.
Eddie.
I just picked you up in my new Honda Element. By the way, I hate corporate culture. But this is the contradiction with me. Is that when I do get a nice product, like I like the Honda Element, like because I drove around in a 1988 BMW for
this
so long.
This is the podcast where we're going to shit on corporations and people who sell out to the military industrial complex. By the way, Honda Element, folks. Honda Element, a nice car. If you're enlightened like I am, it's your demographic.
I call it the Bobby the Bitter Buddha Mobile.
He's rolling in that Buddha money, folks. That bitter Buddha money. He's throwing it around. Should have seen him at the taco restaurant today.
You know what I like about it? It's kind of roomy. And one of my favorite things to do in L.A. is sit in my car, pull over, and have fights on the phone with various people in my life. And it's a roomy car, right? So I can wave my arms. And, like, just picture this, me on the side of the road. And, like, for instance, I'm talking to, let's just say, Progressive Insurance. And I'm going,
that's people,
accident!
That's people in your life?
Well, for me, that's people in my life. Like, when I fight.
What's the name of the girl who's in the ads? I know it's Stephanie Courtney.
Oh, I know her, Courtney.
I know Stephanie Courtney, but what's the character's name? Flo.
Oh, you're like, Flo.
Flo! Flo! Mm-mm-mm. Well, this is what fucking kills me about corporate culture, is that they present, you know, the image of, like, Flo, and everybody's so nice, and all the dumb.
It's not a good company, though.
I was a victim of a hit and run.
Uh-huh.
A hit and fucking run. A guy, this is a true story, a guy had a seizure. He was obviously, like, hopped up on Benzies or up or Downsies, whatever they're calling
him. Eddie did drugs with Jack Kerouac.
Jack, baby,
it was me and Pepe. We were driving. We were driving all the way from Paso Robles to Las Vegas.
Long, slow razor blade into the night. The coast just beckoning me. We zipped through the woods. I'm fucking everything. I'm fucking everything.
Hey, Jack, get me the Bennies.
Hold it. Hold on.
I would love to see On the Road with Eddie Pepitone instead of Sal. What's his name?
Oh, it's Sal.
Dean Moriarty.
Dean Moriarty, yeah. And Neil Cassidy. Neil Cassidy.
It's Eddie instead. Oh, my God.
How far do we get to Denver?
Wait a minute. You are telling me this car has no heat? Are you fucking insane? Like, on the road with, like, a blue-collar guy who can't believe that they are doing...
Great, another hitchhiker.
Yeah, but she's beautiful, Eddie. She's beautiful. She's rugged like the Oregon coast, and she's wise like the Buddha.
I'm sick of your fucking friends. Your friends, they're either poets. I get it. You get to sit around and write, or they're hippies and you're fucking them. You're either reading poetry or fucking, and it drives me nuts.
Eddie, don't be a downer, baby. Don't be a downer. We got sleeping bags that go on for miles. Sleeping bags filled with an ambrosia of ladies in blonde hair. Catholic school can't touch me anymore, Eddie. Catholic school, I was born in Lowell, Massachusetts, Eddie. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a... Lowell, Massachusetts is a pussy town compared to New York City.
Eddie, I liked it more when you were playing the toot-toot machine.
On the Road with Eddie Pepitone and Jack Kerouac. But anyway, so for real, I got hit and run by a guy who was obviously on drugs, went into a seizure, just hit the back of my car, and I've had to deal with Progressive insurance. And so this is
you
what
don't
I,
get to talk to Flo.
You don't get to talk to Flo. Now, that is the funniest thing, by the way, about the way corporations, like, through advertising.
They make you think they're your friend.
Here's the fucking thing, is you want to believe that they're nice.
Yes, because they can afford all the best consultants who do the psychological studies to know how to talk to people.
Right, which is why advertising is evil, is it not?
It is evil.
It really is kind of Satan's fucking cock.
Now, look, I'm a big fan of Joe Isuzu, like everybody. But I have to credit Adbusters. When I was probably 20, I found Adbusters.
I don't know Adbusters that much. What do they do?
It's a magazine. They were one of the groups that called for the Occupy Wall Street protests.
Oh, nice.
And they've been around for... I don't know, maybe 20 years, maybe 15, I don't know. But
and do they just go after corporate advertising?
Anti-globalization, anti-corporate angle that they come from. And they do a lot of, it is very artistic. They'll have, like, advertisements that ran in various magazines and deconstruct why they're so evil. Now I can't read a magazine without, or even look at a billboard or TV ads without thinking about the way Adbusters unprogrammed me from, I was born into a world where television and advertising were normal.
Yeah.
It's like you get deprogrammed. Like, you flip through a National Geographic. You're like, I want to look at pictures of the North Pole and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you realize, like, this whole thing is sponsored by car companies and oil companies.
But, I mean, these companies, the ads just fucking kill me. Like, Chase Manhattan, or any oil company, their ad should be like a dolphin tied up, like a, or a whale tied up on a slab, and next to the whale tied up on a slab is like a pregnant woman tied up. Now, this is if they were truth in advertising, and it's just a guy in like a bloody smock that says Chase or BP, and he's pointing the gun at the whale, and he's like, look, we're doing business. It doesn't matter who fucking gets
and that's
hurt.
I understand that. It's a mafia.
It really is, though.
I'm tired. I've got two things that are kind of, they sound like they're opposite, but they're kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, I am tired of pretending that there's not a corporate dictatorship and what you would call a conspiracy, where the way people think and the way people behave are controlled from a very powerful place. On the other hand, mm-hmm. it's for business. It's not like they're Satan worshipers with the secret pyramid eye in the dark place. It's like it's just business. They just want to accumulate all the money and power.
That's right. That's right. They do.
It's very.
But
totally
don't get
illogical.
In their fucking. Don't get in their fucking way.
Exactly. And they don't want to kill people, but they have to. That's the way the business model is.
Everybody now is so confessional about their life. Like, they'll tweet it, their Facebook
that's
it.
That's sad. And I think people, maybe it's just going to get worse, and we're all just. Because guess what? Who doesn't get to share their secrets?
Who?
Langley, Virginia, the CIA. They're not. It's a one-way street where the powerless have to share all their information with the powerful.
I'm sure in wealthy families, really wealthy, powerful families, like the dad of the family is like talking to his son going, listen,
tell any secrets.
You do not post on your fucking Facebook page how we get the oil, Arnie. But dad, I just want to shoot, because it's funny, the kids.
I'm posing next to the pipeline,
the kids,
dad.
Yeah, the kids of rich people, if they go to they go to really hot shit schools, and I'm sure there have been rich kids who have like rebelled, like they have all the money in the world, but they're like they get exposed to like cool fucking people.
Yeah, then they want to go adventure. Yeah, not everybody,
and they want to be rebellious against.
Not everybody decides to stick around with whatever ongoing scam is.
It would be funny if like a kid of one of the big BP executives just posted all the dead bodies that BP has buried all around the world. Like he goes, hey guys, like just a Facebook Facebook photo post of like BP exec. Kid, like, hey, here's some dead bodies from the Congo that that BP had to do because of
there was a lot of natural gas we discovered.
There was a lot of natural gas,
and we had to make sure that we took out the popularly elected president.
That whole fucking. But back to the original point is that there's a lack of community, I think, because people are pitted against each other. It's so hard to make a living that what people are doing, if they do start making some money, they're like, okay, I've got it. I've got some money. I've got some money coming in, and my fucking neighbors are not going to get any of this goddamn fucking money. They are not going to get any of this fucking. Well, I got my plasma TV. This is what it is. Now, we live in a society where we have access to all these fucking amazing products, but we're powerless as citizens. That's the juxtaposition. Like, we have access to these plasma fucking TVs, to these fucking, whatever appliance you want.
I dissent from all of it. As much as it can get away with easily. I don't have any shit. I have a dumb phone. It's not capable of anything. And
well, if you started making really good money, you would want some comfort around you, and there's nothing, I guess, too bad about
no,
that.
No, if I had a lot of money, I would figure out a way to set it up so I could be even more comfortable with less shit. Or like, I like record players and records. I don't want any more fancy phones or anything. I can't trust a smartphone anymore. After all this stuff that's come out, okay, it's not crazy anymore. Edward Snowden and
we had Edward Snowden
proven
as a guest, by the way. That's funny you mentioned
it. I was driving over. I heard it on the way over. I don't drive.
Eddie Snowden is releasing a whole Yuletide private collection
but
thing.
But I can't. Mm-hmm. They're spying on everything, and there's zero momentum to change any of it. Everything's just like, I guess that's the way it is. Back to the work camp, I guess. Like, so I'm not going to voluntarily participate in it if that's the way it is.
Yeah.
There is. I'm being exaggerated because there are a lot of people There's a lot of journalists who are upset in ways they haven't been before in my lifetime.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who are realizing they can't trust the internet anymore and are not having important conversations on the internet or on the phone.
Ooh.
And that's the way people lived in most of the world. I'm Armenian. Like that's Armenians know this. We came from like the Soviet bloc and lived under
Armenian?
I'm a quarter Armenian, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
Turkish suppression for years. Like you know, mm-hmm. you get used mm-hmm. to it. The emperor, the king mm-hmm. is not a good guy. That's the way yeah. you live your life. Yeah. So get used to it.
Cool. All right, well you have listened to your first episode of Pep Talks with the Bitter Buddha, and I want to thank James Adomian.
I tuned out.
James, thank you for coming on and being
on the launch
episode. I think we covered some good ground here. You know,
yeah,
we're an insular, consumeristic police state with the biggest prison population in the world, but it's a lot of fun.
But we still have a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
If you can talk shit about it,
yeah, and we still can talk shit about it. But I'm getting a little worried about that.
They don't know how to do live comedy. They can't control.
That's kind of true. But thank you for coming.
So let's start doing comedy.
Thank you for coming, and you've been listening to Pep Talks with the Bitter Booter, and I'll see you the next time.
I'll see you next time.
Okay, so thanks for listening, and don't forget live Pep Talks Friday the 13th at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room, 8 p.m. with Todd Glass. You have to come. Todd is a lunatic. Me and Todd. And Steve Lally and just pure lunacy will follow. So don't forget, live Pep Talks here in Los Angeles, Friday the 13th, Comedy Store, The Belly Room. All right, everybody, thanks for listening.